Well, it's interesting as we do life, you know, God always has, if we're paying attention, there's always something to talk about in the world. That the word that we read isn't for back then. It's for today. It's stuff we get to walk out today. One of the things that we celebrate today, this is Pentecost Sunday. Woo! We are so glad that God sent His Holy Spirit. We get to celebrate. And Pentecost Sunday is happens 50 days after the Passover Sabbath. Okay? So if you look back and you think all the way back, right, to March and when there was Easter and I'm just remembering as I see middle schoolers walk out, you middle schoolers are dismissed to your class. There's a few of you, you get to go enjoy. Tesla has something for you there. We had room for some middle schoolers. Some parents planned ahead, said, we're going to get our kids in this service, registration. But Pentecost came from the Greek word for 50. So Pentecost. So 50 days after the Passover was Pentecost. And the original celebration was the Feast of Ingathering. It was the first harvest that was coming. So they're celebrating and saying, hey, God gave us this harvest. We're going to celebrate what God has given. Isn't it ironic that that was the day that God originally intended for Him to send His Holy Spirit? The first fruits of a new kingdom that He get to celebrate. Pentecost, as we come and celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit, the start of the church with power and with change. And read with me, and you're probably familiar with it, but read with me. Acts 2, beginning with verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. I love, as some of you guys may have noticed, Tesla, she was wearing flames on her head. The celebration, I'm thinking that probably wasn't a bunch of hats. It was what looked like a bunch of flames. But it just, those kind of things help us remember. And in fact, Joel, as he looked in the prophecy in the Old Testament, we'll look back of how God pointed to this. In Joel chapter 2, verse 28, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. This was the verse that Peter referred to on that first message that he gave to all those visitors that came in for the Pentecost, for the Feast of Ingathering, that first harvest that were in Jerusalem celebrating one of the several feasts that God had for Israel to celebrate. As all those people gathered, and they're like, man, what is going on? There's some ruckus happening on the inside of town there. It sounds like wind. Sounds like a storm is coming. And as they came out, all those followers of Christ came out, they began to speak in other tongues. And they heard the message of God in celebration of who He was in their language. And of course, you know the story. Peter said, hey, we're not drunk. It's 9 in the morning. We're not drunk. We haven't had anything to drink. In fact, he referred to this passage. He said, this, what you're hearing, because they're hearing God worship and praise in their own language. He says, what you're hearing is what God promised would come. He promised that He would pour out His Holy Spirit on all mankind. The coming of the Holy Spirit marked fulfillment of several promises that God made. The first one is a promise that God would pour out His Spirit on all mankind. God's blessing, God's presence, God's direction, God's empowering people to walk out His kingdom. With the death of Jesus, there was forgiveness. There was restoration. There was a relationship with God that was started, that was began again. God's Spirit would once again be available to all mankind. We think all mankind was just Adam and Eve, right? That was all mankind back then. And they walked in relationship with God. And once again, God's presence would be available. That relationship would be available to everybody. God's Spirit was promised, and God fulfilled His promise. It was not only a promise that God made in scriptures like Joel and others, but it was a promise. promise that Jesus made to his disciples. You remember as he, in Acts, as he kind of described what was to come. It says, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. It was a gift, right? It was a gift of the Holy Spirit. They didn't have to earn it. Those guys, and guaranteed, all those guys in the upper room waiting for Jesus to come weren't all perfect. Just like you and me, but they were waiting, being obedient. God gave the gift of the Holy Spirit. He gave them power. As I guarantee, Peter, right? He's the guy who ran away when the Roman soldiers came. He's a different man now. Before he said, I'm ready to go to the cross, I'm ready to die for you, Jesus, and then he ran. Now he says, I'm ready to die for you, Jesus, I'm ready to follow you, and he stands his ground. He says, I don't care. The Jesus you crucified, the Jesus you took to the cross, is the Messiah, and you killed him. I don't care. You can kill me. He had a new boldness. He walked out power when the Holy Spirit came on him. It was transforming power. We saw Peter was not the same Peter he was. He still was a I don't want to say big mouth, but he was those people that, you know, that just, they're fun to be around, but sometimes you shake your head and say, I can't believe that. I guarantee you there was a lot of head shaking from the disciples. But at the same time that God transformed that, Peter was now saying stuff that was lined up with Jesus, that was consistent. It wasn't just word mouth delivery, but it was action delivery. Today we celebrate the fulfillment of God's promise of the Holy Spirit. This, we want to remember this, because as we just kind of remember, and as I study just even writing this stuff down, I was like, God, this is so important for me to remember, for the church to remember as we walk out the gospel. Today is the day we celebrate Pentecost Sunday. It's the commemoration of the coming of the Holy Spirit, God's fulfillment of the promise that he gave to restore his relationship with man, to restore his power to mankind. It was interesting, you look at, the Holy Spirit was a big deal to Jesus. I'm sure there's really some very articulate ways you could say that, but I just say, hey, it was a big deal to Jesus. Why do I say that? In John 16:7, but very truly I tell you, it is good for you that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Jesus was excited about what was to come. Jesus knew firsthand what it was to walk with the Holy Spirit. Right? The other name for the Holy Spirit is what? The Spirit of Jesus. It was planted in Jesus. It was laid on Jesus. He knew that relationship was. It was really cool having physical Jesus. Right, I always laugh and think about the times we're like, and the question is like, who that has died would you want to have dinner with? And a lot of us say, Jesus. That would be so cool to have Jesus at your dinner table. You know, break some bread, you know, come walk through walls, or it just, let me talk. I have some questions to ask you. How do you do this thing? But cooler than physical Jesus is spiritual Jesus, because he's not limited to a place. He gets to go with us wherever we go. To be with somebody else in another part of the world. I love, as I go down to Guatemala and I on our mission trips, I was so impressed by how the same Jesus that talked to me and redeemed me, it was so weird. Jesus speaks Spanish. The Holy Spirit speaks Spanish. He's down in Guatemala redeeming and saving those people, working on their marriages, working on in their churches. I would love that. It became so obvious that, man, the same God I serve here is the same God all over the world. He speaks Chinese. He speaks, you know, Farsi. He speaks all different languages, languages that they're still working to translate the Bible into. Jesus' presence is now accessible to everybody. And going on in John 14:26, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. He's a teaching and reminding Jesus that gets to go be with us. Peter goes on in his message to these new, to this audience that he has in Jerusalem. In Acts 2, we pick up his message: repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. The promise just wasn't for the disciples. The promise just wasn't just for those 3,000 who received the Lord on that first message that Peter preached. It's for all of us. I had a chance to go and hang out with Milo, our little grandson who just turned 1 year old a couple days ago. We celebrated yesterday, and it was social distancing. We had to sit in our chairs, and they were over there. I was not allowed. That sounds terrible, huh? But I'll say that. I was not allowed to hug my grandson. I submit to that. But it was so hard. I couldn't hug on him. I wanted to kiss him, but I know there were people, and we just got back from California, and we tried to be really careful down there, but we don't know. That'd be really difficult because we had contact with our family, just our relatives, and we don't know who they had contact with. And so we wanted to be careful and honor that. But I think about, as I pray for my little grandson, who's just, he's walking already, and likes, he just, well, you know, everybody who has their kids or grandkids are just the coolest. But as I pray for him, I say, God, would you fill Milo with your Holy Spirit? Would you fill Graham? Would you fill Claire with your Holy Spirit? That the same Holy Spirit that I have, I will get to have a relationship with them someday, because of the same Holy Spirit that's in me will be in them, so that they would see me not as Grampy, but they would see me as a brother in the Lord. They would say, man, we're temporarily in positions of authority and relationship, but for eternity, we will be equals before God celebrating. And I want that for my kids. And so I say, thank you, Lord, that this blessing that God gave at that first message, evangelistic message that Peter preached, is for me today. It's for my grandkids and for my great-grandkids, if God is so gracious, and for the legacy that goes ahead. In Christ, we have gained the presence of the Holy Spirit, God with us, right? Emmanuel. I love that. It's like, how can that be? It's like, we always think of baby Jesus, right? God with us. But it's God with us. Every single one of us, a fulfillment of that prophecy. In Christ, we have gained power of the Holy Spirit, that power that Adam lost when he was in the garden, has been regained. When he walked away from relationship, when he gave up his authority over the earth, it took Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection to allow us to gain that relationship back, so that we can walk in the garden, so to speak, in relationship in the cool of the day. Everything we do in all those situations, enjoying God. It gives us gaining the power to impact our world in life-giving ways. We don't understand what that means. I was just talking to somebody this week as we put my mom's house up for sale down in Southern California, and prepared and staged stuff so it looked good, right? That clutter, they like to look it clean, get all that extra chair that's so comfortable, it clutters the room. It's like, oh man, I got to get that out of there. And as we prepared, and he shared, it's like, how did you come to know the Lord? Because we knew he was a believer. And he shared, he said, you know, I was someplace, he said, we were talking in a business as we're doing real estate, and this man said, I sense from our conversation that you're not going to heaven. You're going to hell. It's like, what? He was so angry with him. He was so angry about that, right? If somebody tells you you're going to hell, only not that they're not flipping you off, or, you know, they're sincere. It's like, you think that you're good. You think that you have God's righteousness, and you don't. He said he was so angry. He said he just walked away. But it planted a seed, because he knew in his heart that he was dissatisfied. Some of us don't like to say those things to people, and I don't recommend it unless the Holy Spirit leads you there. But this guy was walking in that. He he never knew that that was the seed that planted this young man who didn't grow up in a Christian home, began to go to church, where he heard the gospel, where he confessed Jesus as his Savior, where he got water baptized. Those things that changed because somebody was willing to walk out the power of the Holy Spirit that impacted the world in a life-changing way. And it opened the door. He went on to say that he met a beautiful young lady in his class in college, and she wouldn't give him the time of day, and he was going to church at the time, and lo and behold, the church he was going to was the same church, a large church, that she was going to, and they caught each other's eye. And they began to date, and she said, you know, I would have had nothing to do with you if you weren't going to church, if you weren't following the Lord. And he said, thank you, Jesus, you know, right? Because they're married now, have two beautiful kids. But it's just that challenge that because somebody walked out that power-giving, life-giving witness of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus Christ, we gain both. We gain relationship, and we gain back our authority. John 7:38. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. That guy, whether it's a testimony or how we walk out the kingdom, we know when people are just saying words, right? We know when they don't really care about us. We know when they're just doing the religious thing. But you can tell when they're saying the hard thing because they love us. They know that we might not react well, but they know that they care about us. When Jesus gives his the Holy Spirit, God's intention for us is that it addresses us personally first. It affirms us personally. To me, there's five languages of love. You guys ever heard that? Five languages of love. My language of love is affirmation. Jackie, I don't want gifts. You know, and most guys, you're like, what's your gift of, you know, love? Touch. Right, guys, you know what? Affirmation. I like touch. I like, you know, acts of service. But I love words of affirmation. It's what speaks to my soul. God affirms believers through his Holy Spirit. He says, you are fully accepted. You are fully just the way you are. God knows who you are. All your junk, all your stuff. You know, as you grow a friendship and you begin to lay your life open to somebody and just, you know, you begin to say, man, I just want you to know back in, you know, whatever grade this happened. Nobody else knows this, but I'm feeling like I should share this with you and that friendship. And you know, you've tested the water. Maybe you've told them something else, kind of light. And as that friendship's there and you know they still love you and accept you, you tell them a little bit more. You tell them a little bit more. I just kind of laugh at middle schoolers. I remember reading a definition of those things the kids say that are just like memorable. And a middle schooler, they're defining friendship. And they said, friendship and a friend is somebody that you can fart in front of. It is like, I was like, yeah, because they'll put up with the stink, you know, because I know yours doesn't stink. But it was like, you know, I know that's kind of crude, but that being fully accepted by God is him to enjoy and know all your stuff and still accept you and know who you are. And because of that, we're affirmed. He affirms us that we're loved, pleasing to God, planned for. There is nothing we can do to be not receive God's love. That's the most secure place to be. When he sends his Holy Spirit, he's affirming those things. It's like, I accept you, Jesus. I love you. And he loves us right where we are. There's nothing, even when we mess up, we can come back, Jesus, no, you told me not to do this. You told me not to do it, and I did it anyways. I was wrong. I'm terrible with my wife because I'm usually the one who's wrong. But when the few occasions that I'm not wrong, I like to hear that. What, Jackie? I didn't hear that. I make her say it like two times. And if I'm really bad, I'll make her say it three times. You know, I was wrong. You're right, Scott. Yes. You know, but usually it's the other way around. And she's a lot kinder than me. She doesn't make me repeat it. But I do always try to confess it. Jackie, you are right again, you know. But it's those things that we do is God affirms us in how we live. And we get to recognize when we're wrong, and God still loves us repeatedly. No longer ruled by flesh, but by the Holy Spirit. I like this verse in Romans 8, verse 5 and 6. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. As God gives His Holy Spirit, we may not like or even think first out the chute or first impulse what the Holy Spirit wants. We're going to say, no, I want to do this. No, I want to do this. And then trust me, you'll be saying, Holy Spirit, I was wrong. Well, I wish that next time I'm going to do it your way. But when we walk in obedience to what the Holy Spirit says, whether it's for me keeping my mouth shut a lot of times, saying the kind thing, it is life and it's peace. There are so many relationships that we feel offended by, and we want to make sure they know. You hurt me so bad, and we just like start bringing out the baseball bat and just start smacking them. I want to show you how much that hurt. That hurt me so bad. You offended me, and we're just beating them. Do you think that's the flesh or the Holy Spirit? I'd say that's the flesh. As you never see Jesus in any action that He did, in His Spirit, it says, you know what? I don't have to defend myself. In the sense of verbally. I mean, if you're in a bad situation and somebody's beating you up, get out of it. We're talking about just those verbal things where somebody's mean or thoughtless, or maybe they weren't thinking. You know, I'm like the kid, you know, when you ask your middle schooler or teenager, why did you do that? And what do they say? I don't know. I haven't changed much. I still have to say, I don't know. I wasn't thinking or wasn't listening. It's like, Holy Spirit says, man, listen to what I'm doing. When you listen to what I'm telling you, where I'm directing, when you're following me, it is a life. It brings life and peace to your situation. It affirms that we're fully accepted. The Holy Spirit does personally. He affirms that we're fully loved. And He affirms that we're fully forgiven. Ephesians 1:7, in Him we have redemption through His blood, for the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Our forgiveness has been fully paid for. It's so crazy how some of us call self-fulfilling prophecy or handicap ourselves or sabotage ourselves. We'll be successful, but because we don't believe we deserve it, in other words, we know we've messed up, we haven't paid the price, so therefore we don't deserve this good thing that's happening. We will sabotage. You're like, why did you do that? You had a great job. You like the job you're doing. You're getting good paid money. Why did you flip the boss off and tell him to take a hike? I don't know. I just got upset. You just sabotage yourself. Well, I didn't deserve that job anyways. Well, when we walk in the full forgiveness of God, He's paid it all. We get to walk in the fullness of His forgiveness. Say, you know what? I messed up, but Jesus paid it all. I can walk in the benefits and the blessings of that relationship. I can walk in the wholeness of that. I don't need to pay the price again. I don't need to punish myself. The Holy Spirit affirmed God's approval of us, His forgiveness of us, His pleasure in us, and His plans for us. The second purpose that God gave His Holy Spirit is that it commissions and it qualifies us in partnership for ministry with Jesus. Let me read this. When Jesus got commissioned by God, it comes from Matthew chapter 3. Then Jesus came from Galilee to Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter Him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. Do you come to me? And Jesus replied, let it be now. Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, He went up out of the water. At that moment was opened, and He saw heaven was opened, and He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on Him. And a voice said, "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." At that moment, the Holy Spirit lit on him. If Jesus needed the power of the Holy Spirit, don't you think you and I do? And we think, well, I thought Jesus was God. He didn't need anything. Well, yes and no. The challenge is when Jesus left heaven, he left his power there. He left his glory there to become what? Fully human. When he became fully human, he was perfect. He was without sin. Yes, he was pure and in ways we can't imagine, but he still was human. He still needed to walk out the ministry and assignment that God gave him. He needed the Holy Spirit's power to walk that out. That's how he walked that ministry. That's how he walked that out. It's so fascinating. Just studying the words of Jesus and how he walked out is so fascinating. The words, the kind of answers he gave. When people ask questions, sometimes he'd ask them a question. Sometimes they'd ask him about this topic, and Jesus would take it over to this topic because this is the heart of what was going on. I love what Jesus did. That's how he was able to, being filled with the Holy Spirit, being the Holy Spirit baptizing him with the full power of heaven. His act of righteousness wasn't an act of repentance, but it was about doing all things that are right and exampling for us what it was like. So that Jesus said, hey, as a human, as a perfect human born of God, I needed the power of heaven on my life. Don't you think you do? I need the power of heaven to walk out what I do, what I say, to listen, to be obedient, to be confident in what God's called me to do. God has called us to eternal life for a greater purpose than just being saved. You know, I think being saved is great, right? Maybe some of us can remember some place where you raised your hand, or maybe you walked forward, or maybe somebody led you in the sinner's prayer. Those are meant to be the catalyst, the beginning, where Jesus plants his Spirit in you. But it's just the beginning, because that's where we recognize personally, because we need to be healed personally. You can't give away what you don't understand yourself. You can't affirm other people's in being fully accepted if you haven't recognized your own being fully accepted. You can't receive God's forgiveness. You can't encourage other people to receive God's full forgiveness if you haven't received forgiveness for yourself. We need to receive him personally, but that's just the beginning. The reason why Jesus was so excited to go away is to give his Holy Spirit so that we would be able to walk out his ministry. He's like, man, I just got these 12 guys, and it's been a job, right? It's been overwhelming to me, you know? And yet he knew that once he left and he gave his Holy Spirit, that his ministry would go on. It was only the beginning of God's purpose for a Spirit-filled believer. The Holy Spirit is just like Jesus. He's just like Jesus. John 14, verses 16 and 17. "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." Jesus isn't weird or manipulative. The Holy Spirit is inviting. He doesn't force his way in. He isn't trying to put one over on you and get you to agree to something that you don't intend. Jesus is loving. He's kind. He's faithful and true. The Holy Spirit, I just think about my friend's story about the guy who was obedient to the Holy Spirit and called my friend out. He didn't feel loved. I can guarantee he wasn't real received, you know. Because we all want to be loved, right? We all want to say, like, I like people to like me. Well, when we have the Holy Spirit in us, there's going to be some times we say things that are going to challenge people. And we won't be liked. Jesus, newsbreak, right? Jesus was not loved by everybody. The Holy Spirit, as we walk out obedience, we're not going to be loved by everybody. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. In John 14:26, we read this one before. "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you." He will help connect the dots. he'll remind you, say, hey, remember we talked about this before? This applies right here. It's like, oh, thank you so much. I am not a correlator. You know, meaning I can't, sometimes I don't understand that when I get tired, you know, and hungry, I get kind of cranky, you know, unless somebody says, hey, you're kind of, why don't you eat something, you know? And then you go, wow, I feel a lot better. It's like, okay, my energy's getting lower, I need to eat something. But correlating those things that are going on in our life, the Holy Spirit needs to connect the dots for us that we have with that we have him with us. I just know that Jesus was so glad to leave and leave the Holy Spirit because he was kind of exasperated with the disciples, right? He says, how long must I be with you? You guys still don't get it. He says, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and he's going to be doing this. It's like, oh, dude, what was that? You know, the Holy Spirit's reminding us. We need that kind of, some of us need just the silent little rub on the shoulder that my wife gives me sometimes when I'm saying stuff inappropriately. You know, some of us need the Gibbs bang on the back of the head. What kind of student are you? Is the Holy Spirit making you like Jesus? The Holy Spirit is in the Word. I love Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is alive and powerful. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between the soul and the spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. I've probably shared my wife like 95% of what's inside of me. You know, I think the other day I told her something. She says, well, I don't think you ever told me that before. You know, I was like, yep, this is who you married. But I think about, and it's probably less than that, but we've grown in relationship that I talk to her a lot. But I just think about those places that we get to bring to the Lord and allow him to do heart surgery on us and say, hey, I love David's prayer, right? Search my heart and see if there's any impureness in me. It's like, oh, that's vulnerable. Because some of us already know there's impurity there. We're talking about the stuff you don't know that's there. There gets some serious conversation that the Holy Spirit gets to do. And I think about, am I willing to schedule a regular surgery time for the Holy Spirit? I say, Holy Spirit, I know there's stuff that's not right, and I don't even see it right now. God, would you reveal that to me? Would you reveal an attitude? Would you reveal pride? Would you reveal inconsistency? Would you reveal unkindness or where I haven't been loving? You know, and it can be hard. It can be hard because it's like, I'm a great guy. I'm a nice guy. I'm not that bad, right? God wants us to be not just look good. God wants us to be spirit-led, spirit-filled, walking out from the inside out. The Holy Spirit is glorifier. What is God's purpose in filling us with His Spirit? His purpose is that the ministry of Jesus would be carried on. The thing that Jesus did, all those things as He loved, I think about, you know, Mary, Martha's sister, Lazarus' sister, who is a prostitute, who poured out perfume on Jesus' feet. She had forgiveness and welcome from Jesus like nobody else. And it was in that situation that God touched her, that Jesus touched her. Everything that Jesus did reflected, gave God glory. I mean, from man's standpoint, they were really offended that Jesus, like, oh, how can you let her touch her? And yet God, in his love, he wants to touch every single person. It's man that says, oh, you know what? But there's nobody that can say that because we're all messed up. And we can say that I'm better than you. We're all messed up. And those Pharisees in particular, it's ironic. It seems like the more righteous somebody feels that they are, really the worse and more hard-hearted they are. It's fascinating to to see how Jesus loved her, and people welcomed that. And God gave the glory, because people, you've heard people say, you know, kind of twofold. In one sense, if you see somebody repulsed by somebody, you know, and walk away from them, whether, name whatever thing that people get upset by or uncomfortable with, and people look at that, if that's what God's like, I don't want anything to do with him. The reverse is true, which is why you see Zacchaeus, a thief, an embezzler, who said, you know what, if this is what God is like, I'm all in. And he sold his possessions, and he paid back, you know, four times of what he owed to anybody that he had cheated out. All of those things, God gets the glory as the Holy Spirit works in and through us to bring God glory. I know that my prayer is, anything good in my life, I want it to bring, it will bring God glory, because I know anything good in my life is a result of walking in obedience to the Holy Spirit. I as imperfect as I am, I have to, this week was challenging. We drove down to LA for the week. We left last Sunday after church, and we got back last night. And busy during the week, I took half a day on Wednesday, usually the day I do my sermon, and it's enough time to get some notes down, but not enough time to get it done. And so I have my laptop in the car, and I don't get car sick, so that's okay. So I'm working on my sermon several different hours till my battery runs out on my laptop, and then I still had more to do. And so we planned to go to the birthday party, went there. I still don't have my sermon done. I get home last night at 7:30, unpack the car, sort of. The truck is still loaded with stuff. But I'm like, you know what? God, I did the best I knew how to do. I knew I was supposed to be helping my mom, my sister. I knew I was supposed to go to that birthday party. I know I was supposed to do these things. And I'm like, you know what? God, if you don't show up, I'm going to go to sleep right here. You know, in my brains, I'm not going to type gibberish on my computer. But it's like, you know what? I'm giving God glory. I said, I did what I believe he called me to do. And that means I know that he'll give me the wherewithal to do what I need to do for putting a sermon together and finish the PowerPoint. So at 12 midnight, I was hit the click, printed out, got my PowerPoint done. I say, thank you, Lord, and get my shower and pass out. And you would not believe it, but this is the Sunday morning that I have to get up earlier because we're doing two services. And it's like, okay, Lord, I knew, you know, it's like, Scott, you're an idiot, you know, for running your life like that. And my wife, we're wired differently, for sure. You know, she would manage her life like this, and I manage my life like this, and they're different. But both of us are being obedient to the Holy Spirit and walking it out with all our heart. I can be confident when I do that, God will give me what I need to when I get there. I don't have to stress out. I was able to sing happy birthday, watch my little one-year-old cram cake in his mouth, you know, enjoy conversation, drive home. I didn't have to work on my sermon. I was like, you know what? God'll got it covered. God's got it covered. I just encourage you. I see, and I know you do too, the benefit of allowing the Holy Spirit to be filled up so you're not running on empty. My physical body may be running on empty, but my spirit's not. I'm pumped up when I get to walk in relationship in power of the Holy Spirit. Everything the Holy Spirit does brings glory to God. My question just for each of us, what is the Holy Spirit working in and through you to bring God glory? What it is God has called you to do that you know it might be hard or you're not sure where it ends up going, but you know that's how God wired you. You know that's where you need to be. You and I will not be able to walk out the fullness of the ministry of God for us unless we are walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. As we celebrate the Pentecost Sundays, we celebrate who God is and what he's done. My challenge to you is like Ephesians 5:18 says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not a one-time deal, because those Greek scholars say it means It's a continuous, keep being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not a once a week. It's a day by day. Because I laugh about it. You know, sometimes my most spiritual times with the Lord are quickly followed by an argument with my wife or a difficult situation. It's like, what in the world is that about? Me and Jesus are like this. Why does this happen right now? Why? It's because Jesus knew you had to fill you up because something hard was going to happen. You're just going to have to dump it all out right there. And I just like, okay, Lord, help me to constantly do these things, to pursue you, to be a good student, to reflect on your word so that you're revealing things to my soul that need to be corrected, that I'm walking in disobedience and I didn't even know it, that I need to change. The word tells us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's my prayer. You know, as a Pentecostal church, as a church who says, you know, the Holy Spirit is alive and well, working, just like Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same Holy Spirit that worked back then in Jesus is the same Holy Spirit that he gives us to minister today. Be filled. Be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Walk in the fullness of it. And it is a growing, maturing process. You will continue to grow and mature. It's not like, okay, learn how to do that. You'll keep learning. You'll keep growing. You'll keep growing. Because I can guarantee, and my kids can vouch for it, I'm not the same man that I was 10 years ago, that I was 20 years ago. My wife, I'm so thankful. Thank you, Jackie, for staying with me. You know, not walking away from this goofball. I just thank you, God, as I pursue the Lord, as you pursue the Lord, I know you're changing. Let's pray as the worship team comes up. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this Pentecost Sunday that we celebrate the first fruits, the ingathering of the harvest. Lord, the harvest of your Holy Spirit, the harvest of your relationship with you, the harvest of your power. Lord, that we would be intentional and recognize that you didn't just give us the Holy Spirit to feel good about ourselves. You gave us the Holy Spirit to walk out ministry in life-giving ways in the world we live. Lord, so that when those situations that are unjust, that are life-killing, Lord, that we would step in and bring the power of your Holy Spirit to bear and be life-giving. We love you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.